All right, there we go. Now we're hot. Works better when we turn it on. Oh, I'm so excited. Give me a minute, because I'm excited to be here today. Oh, thank you, Father. It's been a great week. It really has. And I'm just glad to be here. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
This has been kind of welling ever since we went to Tennessee. You know, because you know when you're away, you still have to teach, you still have to study, you still have to prep. So, you know, I was sharing this with Julio. I had some incredible week this week, and I was just letting him know that even though I'm away, I still have to get ready. You know, because I know my turn's coming up, and I want to be prepared. You know, and right now we're in a major topic right now. So, you know, I was asking y'all just... I need something, you know, to bring to the people. Because remember, we want a timely word. We want the word that's golden apples and setting of silver. We don't want to speak our own word. We want to speak His word and speak right about Him. So it really has been an incredible week. And man, just gone over this. And just yesterday, I was saying, you know, I said, man, it's going to take a miracle for me to be here tonight to deliver the message. And my wife even said, babe, you got somebody lined up? Because every day this week, I've been getting home late. A couple of times I seen Brother Ed in the porch, I blew out, and so he knows last night I ate supper at 8 o'clock at night. So it's like, no way I'm going to be here tonight, because you know, it's just the way things are going. I didn't know that's not Yah's plan, though. So it was just so amazing that so happened today, even though we worked. We left out there at 5 o'clock. I said, oh, boy. We didn't have a deck load of stuff to offload when I got in. And it was like perfect timing. So, and to get here, to be on time, just at the bus, my wife said, you going to make it? I said, I'm coming in on two wheels, but I'm going to make it. So, and boy, it's just, I just got to slow down. Because when you're excited that you're here on time, it just wells up in you. So anyway, we're going to get started here. And you know, this is no small subject when we're dealing with the Most High. Right in verse 1 of chapter 43 of Bereshit. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take it from the top, and we're just at the top. So we're going to get started. In Genesis chapter 43, verse 1, it said, but the scarcity of food was severe in the land. How many of you know that when we looked at that word sore, it went to kavad, which led to kavod. How many know that's when you're dealing with the kavod and the glory and everything that and is so much with it, we can't explain it to you. Yah has to explain it to us. That's why he wrote about himself. He wrote 39 books for us to go back and spend time with him. And look, all these things in here, it really does slow you down to spend time. But that's not the focus I want to look at. What I want to look at is in verse 2, which is going to tie in with verse 1, because this is just so big. But let me read it to you, and we're going to take off from here. I'm telling you, this thing just launches big time. It said, and it came to be, when they had eaten up the grain, which they had bought from Mizraim, that their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. Now here we are, going into the second year of a famine. So it's severe. It's bad. It's really, I mean, people are coming from all over the world to go down to Mizraim to get food. And what does Yaakov say that really caught my attention? Did Yah share with me? He asked for a little food. Now, we just come through Pesach and unleavened bread and first fruit. And now you want a little food? We went through nights and evenings of a lot of food. What's a little food going to do when you got 60 plus mouths to feed at home? He's asking for a little food. Now, it was just crazy. It was, I say crazy, but it just, I think about what he said, because this is no small task what he's asking for. He's asking his son, we need you to go back. Now, I don't know if he's not, just because he's not thinking straight, because he has a lot on his mind. So I thought maybe just the word little could have been just a misprint. But a lot of places where I look, they use this word little. So when I think about little food, it's like when we go by grannies. And when we gather over there as a body, that's nothing little about little food. That's plenty left over. But here, he's talking about little food with 60 plus mouths to feed. Remember, that's an entire family here. So this word little is H4591 miat. And it's a very interesting word because it talks about little. Little, few, a little fewness, small, little like, almost, just, hardly, short, little word. Look, when we come here on our Shabbat nights and days, there's nothing little that goes on here on the subject. This is broad, but he asks for a little food. And when you go to the ancient Hebrew, it's little. It's a diminished in size or amount, diminished, fewness, least, little. And what he's asking for, to me, it's just, he should be asking, look, go back and buy us food. We need to, because remember, they have to travel. I was doing a little math, and I was kind of just seeing what I can find, best I can find on mileage. Don't you know that, give or take, 775 miles one way. Now the brothers, they have to travel on foot to go down to Mitzrayim. And at 8 hours a day traveling on foot with their donkeys, it takes them 97 days, roughly. So that's a journey. So, and you want a little food? You need a lot of food. You need so much food because now you got to travel back. That's another 97 days. So that's 200 days, give or take. That's more than a half a year. That day, so you need more. So when we come here, don't just expect just a little. Because what we're learning, our faith needs to be increased. We talked about this Wednesday night. You know, when we pray, we need to ask and believe and without doubting. So this little, I got to get to my, and I got a couple of pictures on here. There we go. In 12 hours, traveling 12 hours a day, you're looking at 65 days of traveling if they travel 12 hours. Or if they travel 24 hours round the clock, you can get there in about 8 days. This is just me playing around looking at this because he's asking, because that little just stuck in my mind. So you're asking to take this journey. Now, Yehovah is asking, we're on a journey now. We ask for our daily bread because we need it. How many know, but a daily bread over is more than just a little food. And I'm so thankful he put me on this subject to look at. So this miat. It's the Hebrew word. So as I started digging into this, I started looking at some thoughts for life, taking me some notes down. So in life, we always ask for the little things in life. What about the big things? Do we really think is out of our reach that the one we call Yehovah, that he can't supply us with the big things, but we always ask for the little things in life. We sell ourselves short. I know, because I do it too. What about the big things that seem impossible? I mean, some things, you see nice things out there in the world, his desire is for you to have them. But we sell ourselves short. So spiritual and physical, Let's look at a couple things. What about salvation for your household? Is that something little? That's big subjects. And this is what we've been aiming to please. We want to see these seats fill. What about good health? That's not a little subject. Salvation for our neighbors or our neighborhood. What about just being salt and light everywhere we go? These are not little things. So this really stuck to me. What about, and I'm guilty on this, what about live debt-free? Having enough funds to be able to move about freely. Is our L that small? Do we belittle him? We're going to see some scripture here in just a little bit. How little this subject is, this big subject is. Because we're dealing more than just a small amount of food just for a few people. We're just talking about, you know, in our Wednesday night and all, how you can't grow enough food for what's to come or to prepare ourselves. The only thing that's going to lead us through is the word. We need more than a little. We need all we can get. In the time and age in which we live, we need to grab hold of this as much as we can. Are these things little? Or are we comfortable living in the way we are? Is this how I view my Elohim? Just a little thought for life question to myself as I'm taking down these notes. So you remember the mimicry of Isaiah? Let's go to that book. Let's see some things in little. But let me read you one more thing before I go there. Little in the Bible can have various meanings, including physical size, importance, or a metaphor for faith and humility. Some verses use little to refer to children or believers, while others use it to emphasize the value of being faithful in small matters. And you know, sometimes it can be just the little things. Little is not always in the negative. That's not what I'm here to point out tonight, because I'm going to show you some positive stuff and some negatives. This can go both ways, depending on how we view our Elohim and how great is our faith. Because what we learned, what Pastor brought out last Wednesday night, I'm glad he did. He talked about it, talking about how Yeshua came to the fig tree, and it wasn't even his time yet to have figs. But in his mind, and when he got to that tree should have bloomed and had figs on it. He should have known that the master was there. So this is great. Then he also mentioned something about Song of Songs. And I'm like, he's really digging into my notes, because I got Song of Songs in my notes. So I was like, this is going to be some good stuff. So we're going to see it's really, really beautiful. Slow down. In Isaiah chapter 28. Oh, man. Sometimes I just crack myself up. And look at verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom would he teach knowledge? We need that. And whom would he make to understand the message? How you know we need both of them. I need the knowledge and the understanding in order to be able to teach the message. Because this is what I prayed this past couple weeks. If you don't show me, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to teach. Those weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. Now, none of us here, we're not still on breast milk. I sure hope not. If we do, we're going backward. We're not going forward. For it is command upon command, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. How many of you know this is what we're teaching every time we come here? Line upon line, precept upon precept. And we really just giving a little, because there's so much in all this. But we just point out, just it can be just one word. And for me, it's just this word little. It's so important that it's mentioned in the scriptures 100 at one time. So for something to be so small, to have that many verses, we'd be here till tomorrow morning if we read them all. Here a little, there a little. H219. Now this word is zeor. But it has to do with dwindling small, from an unused root by permutation to H6819, meaning to dwindle or small, of quantity. Someone or something that's insignificant. We don't want to be insignificant. We want to be able to be able to teach the message. And share, not only here, but outside. Someone, something, or someone that is smaller, younger, or less significant. Youth, younger, small in age, small in time, or size, or few in number. Now, since we've been on this journey for quite some time, we've seen our numbers dwindle. It gets smaller. But one thing? We might be smaller, but we're stronger. That's what's so amazing. We're not weak. We might have a few empty seats, but I'm going to tell you, you're strong because of the word. You're still here. You're still fighting. You know, that we have to endure. And then look, when it comes to that, you're going to lose members. Well, you know, but this is what we're doing, though. We're praying for them to return, because the scripture is going to tell us that. Return back to me. And so many other good things in there. So this, I had to look up permutation. I didn't know what that was. A permutation is an ordered arrangement of items from a set where the order of the item matters. It is a way to count the number of different ways to arrange a subset of items from a larger set, keeping track of their sequence. I'm not really into that stuff, but they give examples, numbers. I can think of it. So, you know, hey, this is just learning stuff. So I just had to point it out because I didn't know what it was. It is an order arrangement of objects in mathematics, a specific arrange of set of items where the order matters. For example, if you have the letters A, B, and C, then A, B, C, B, A, C, C, A, B, and B, C, A are different permutations. So I had to look some of this stuff up. It's kind of over my head a little bit, but it's information. All right, so let's get back to this. For it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Verse 11, for with jabbering lip and a foreign tongue, he speaks to this people. Now, I mean, you know, when down here, we just, it feels like we're isolated, because when we speak this Hebrew language, that's what it sounds to them. It sounds like jabbering lips and foreign language to them. Well, it's going to, because if you won't take time to study and look at the language, that's what it's going to sound to. It's going to sound strange to people. But you have this. I was so thankful this week. I had a couple of days to really sit down with my cousin Danny and show him Hebrew and show him language. I said, look, read this. And I let him say the word. And he's catching on. He said, man, I like that, how you explain that. Because then I explained it, he said, I've never heard it that way before. I said, that's the reason why. We have to go back to his language. I said, what else? What did he learn? What are we thinking that he learned? What do you think that he taught? He taught this right here, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Any chance he got. So any chance I got this week with him, best believe I was sharing. Only today, they stuck me on the airboat, and, well, that was a whole nother subject. So I didn't have that quality time like I liked. To whom he said, this is the rest. How do you know we need that? Give rest to the weary, and this is the refreshing, but they would not hear. But the word of Yehovah was to them command upon command, command upon command, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, so that they go and shall stumble backward and be broken and snared and taken captive. I thought that was so fitting when I got to that scripture. It was a hallelujah moment, because just last week in Shabbat, we learned about the priest Eli, who stumbled backwards and was broken, and the ark was taken and snared. Remember, we had that word snare, and he was taken captive. That was a terrible time, because Ichabod, remember, the glory has left. Oh, boy. When I got to that verse of scripture, I was like, oh, Father, this is so good. This is why we come here to teach and line up on line. Because we don't, I don't want to miss nothing when it comes to him, especially when it comes to my turn to teach. I don't want to miss anything. So this was so good, this was so fitting that we learned, even though we knew the story, but it just so happened, we just had that story last week, and we get this word today. That was just so fitting to me. This first time we see this this word mentioned. Remember, and snare too. This is going to come back up in just a moment. Let me give it to you while we're here. The word is yakosh. A primitive root to ensnare, literally a fowler. A snare to lure, entice. Remember, we still have, this is all great tonight, but you remember, when you leave here tonight, you have a foe out there waiting for you who wants to ensnare you, who wants to entice you. And you're going to see, we're going to get to that entice because this is so good. We're going to go here in a little bit. Be caught is to be ensnared, to be caught by bait. I mean, you know, the enemy, sometimes he used bait to catch. As a trapper, some of us that trapped over there, we set a trap. We lay bait. So this is what that verse is supposed to go. How you know, but the enemy, he crouches. He waits. He waits when you're most vulnerable, especially in the afternoon when you're tired. He waits. He just don't come out and jump out at you. He waits. He lurks. He watches your every move. We have to be prepared. Being snared and taken captive. Also, look, when you get a little time, go look at that rest and refreshing. It's just, it takes you down a little trail, but it's got some good meaning to it. I don't have time. Maybe I have to go back and put in my notes. I left it alone, but I said, man, I really have some stuff on my page. But this word, miat, is first mentioned in Genesis 18. And it's amazing. As I was studying all this, it would always take me back to the beginning in Yah's word. So in Genesis 18, verse 4, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Remember that with Abraham? The three messengers come, showed hospitality. This is how we have to be. We have to show hospitality. Yeah, look, and to some people, just a bottle of water on a hot day is, that's all they need. Nobody's telling you to roll out the red carpet. Sometimes it's just the simple things in life that makes people happy. It makes people feel welcome, you know, especially if they come to your house or you go to their house or whatever it may be. They make you feel welcome. So that's what Abraham did. And I had the chance to share this story, you know, with my cousin because we got into the subject. You know, I said, you remember this spot right here? And I said, you remember when they went down and the two messengers went down to Sodom and Gomorrah? I said, you ever wonder why, you know, the real reason, one of the real reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? It's not because it was sodomy going on. We know they were a wicked city. I said, because no hospitality. I said, they were robbing the people. They were robbing the orphans and the fathers and widows. And people come in town, they would just beat them up. And y'all had enough of that. On top of all the other things they were doing, y'all just had enough. And the people paid the price. And I said, out of all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, couldn't even find five righteous after all that. So, like I said, we had some really, really great talks. So let's look at Miat again. Oh, let me give you this also. It's from H4591. Moat. So every time I was looking at it and I was thinking about that, I said, hey, where Moat? Kind of a little funny to myself. So it kind of helps you remember when you're teaching, hey, where Moat? Oh, boy. So let's look at it again here. Because remember, we're dealing with little. How do you know this is far from little. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. I mean, when you go to Proverbs, there's a lot of great stuff in there that we need on the daily. Chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 1. He says, my son, if you have become guarantor for your friend, have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, have been snared, by the words of your own mouth, have been caught by the words of your mouth. What gets us into trouble every time? Hey, right off the back, he's telling us. And it was so funny, while I was in Tennessee, that our little grandson, Taylor, I played this little joke with him a while back. I'm not going into details with him. I said, you owe me $5. He said, well, we didn't shake on it. And then I come across this verse of scripture. I said, you know, shaking hands, hey, you just seal the deal. But you know what? Yah gives us his word, and that's good enough. We ain't got to shake hands with Yehovah. He ain't coming down and shake hands with us anyway. He gave us his word. That settles it right there for me. So, but this is so beautiful. He said, shaking hands of pledge for a stranger, have been snared by the words of your own mouth, have been caught by the words of your mouth. That word snare, I gave it to you already. This is H3369, your kosh. To lure, entice, lay a snare, set a trap. Fowler. That's a good word to go Google. Look at a fowler. He says, do this at once, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself and urge your friend. Now, we have to learn, along with the hospitality, we have to learn humbleness in the process of all this. Because we had to learn this humbleness from a long time ago. We talked about the word humble. So this should be no strange word to us when it comes to humble, because we all have to humble ourselves, especially before the master. Give no sleep to your eyes. Look, when you shake on something with your friend, hey, hold true to your word. This is what it's teaching us. If not, do you say yes or no? That's it. Don't say maybe and all. Look, if you're going to do it, do it. If you ain't going to do it, that's one thing about the older generation. If you're going to say something, if you're going to do it, be a man of your word. I've heard that. Isn't that right, Pop? Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand. See, the hunter's out there. Like a bird from the hand of a trapper or fowler. Let me give it to you right here. 3353, Yakush. Fowler, trapper, a bait layer. You know the enemy, he's for real. And he's serious. He's got traps out there that, look, you get caught in them, it takes Yehovah to get you out. Let me tell you, it'll suck you down a road that you don't want to go. I never thought I'd ever be back here. How I know? I got caught in the snare of the trapper. That's how I know. Passive participle of H3369, properly entangled. That is, by implication, intransitive, a snare, a transitive, a snare, a foul, a snare. It says in verse 6, go to the ant, you lazy one. See her ways and be wise, which have no commander, overseer, or ruler. Provide her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. Says, how long will you lie down, oh lazy one? You know, after a long day, all this week, one day I got up at 3 o'clock. Let me tell you, it was like a miracle I woke up that early, but every day the alarm's been catching me. You're out there in the elements, in the sun, all day. And, you know, even though I'm in and out of AC, but I'm up and down. You got to load stuff, offload. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, you get tired. So that when an alarm goes off at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, let me tell you, it's just a little struggle. You want to get up, but you get up. If not, he says, when do you arrive from your sleep? I mean, no, I got to have my time with him. He's waiting. Where are you? So I got to get up. Provides her supplies in the summer. Verse 8, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O lazy one? When do you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down. Is that all we need in life? Just a little sleep, just a little bit more. So I hit them guys all week. Man, I put my hand on the buzzer. Man, I woke up late. That'll happen when you don't get up. You have to have a desire for him, for one thing. Just a little more sleep, really? What 10 more minutes? 10 more minutes ain't gonna do you no good, I'm telling you. A little slumber. Let me tell you, what happened to the foolish virgin? They all slept and slumbered. This goes down that trail, but we ain't gonna go there tonight. A little folding of the hand. Some people think that's all they need, just a little bit of Jesus. Oh, there's a like a song on the radio. I'm glad. Thank you, Father. You just remind me of that. I told him, don't let me forget this. He said, I just need a little church right now. Really? Some song on the radio, it make my ears want to bleed. A little church right now? Really? Come on now. A little falling of the hand. Let's look at verse 11. And your poverty shall come like a prowler, and your need as an armed man. Go ahead. Don't want to spend time with him. I just need a little bit of Shabbat. I just get a little bit and I'm good. I need a lot of it. In the time and age in which we live, we need all we can get. And the scripture says, had Jehovah not shortened the days, no flesh would survive. But for the sake of the elect, you have to think about who's the elect. Look at the person next to you. You're the elect, you and I. But it's going to take a little more than just a little bit of folding of the hand and a little bit of sleep. Let it go. You got plenty of time to sleep. Oh, this is where it gets good. Verse 12. A man of Belial, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. I was just kind of looking at that Belial. They put the word there, naughty, H1100. You know, that's, I can tell you, that'll take you on a whole nother journey, because you got five spots where you can go look at. So I left that alone. That's your own homework. How you know this? Naughty, worthless, good for nothing, unprofitable. We don't want anything. We want to be profitable, not unprofitable. Now look at this. Now I was, you know, in my quiet time, when I got to verse 13, I was trying to see if I can act this out for y'all. Because I knew this was coming. And boy, you know, when you get the nervous and, but I was saying I'm going to do it anyway. Because look at what this man of Belial, what he's out to do. He winks with his eyes. Shuffles his feet. The scripture says, and he points with the finger. I got you. Don't worry about it, sister. I got you. All right, brother, you can count on me. I got you. Don't take it from me. Go read it yourself. Act it out yourself. Because it's funny. Oh, do we think it's funny? But that's what happened. This is what sin does. This is what the enemy does. I got you. I see you over there, Miss Casey. You growing up. Walk this. Look, the enemy's slick. He's crafty. We got to stay a step ahead. The only way to step ahead, you need a little more fold in the hands. I can tell you that. You need a little more sleep and a little more time with him. Perverseness. I hope y'all like my little step. You see me trying to do this on the boat. But every time I'm sitting there and I'm just, I see it plain as day. His hands in his pocket and he's just, hey, I got you. The enemy. The enemy's something, boy, I'm telling you. Oh, boy. Perverseness is in his heart. Plotting evil all times, he sends out strife. If he can just cause just a little bit of doubt between husband and wife or between friends, oh, family, he called it strife. Therefore, his calamity comes suddenly. Instantly, he is broken, and there is no healing. I mean, you know, he hurt my feelings. I ain't talking to him no more. You know, that's what happened. And the enemy, sit back. That's what he's doing. That's why when I came here, I'm so emotional about this, because I've been holding this for a couple of weeks because I knew my turn was coming. I got a chance to share this with my cousin. I told him, I said, we're going to read these next couple of verses. I said, watch this. I said, because people say, when Yeshua, because we got the subject about food and we talked about a lot of things. And I said, and people say when the master died on the cross, he made all these things clean. Everything's okay. Okay, well, let's see. Six matters, verse 16, Jehovah hates. I said, does he like him now because Yeshua died? He goes, I don't think so, my cousin. I said, you're right. And seven on abomination to him. And he knew the very first verse. He said it rather bad, a proud look. I said, you got it. I said, but let me tell you what else. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. He knows a lot of innocent blood has been shed over the years. And Yehovah sees it all. He knows. A heart devising wicked schemes. You know, now people plot, the enemy's plotting. Yehovah knows all this. Feet quick to run to evil. We seen on the way coming home, my wife and I think we was in Memphis. There was a cop had this young man on the side of the road on his knees, had a gun in his hand, and cars are just zooming by. I said, if this would be in New Orleans, everybody would be without camera. I said, you can tell we ain't in New Orleans. They could have cared less what was happening in Memphis. I said, well, look at that. I said, you talk about a difference. You know, because people run, we're quick to shed, to spread the disease around. He said, a false witness breathing out lies. Jehovah hates that. And one who causes strife among the brothers, that's an abomination to him. That's what it is. Now, we've dealt with some of these things in our lifetime. This is why we're here tonight, because we want to love what he loves, and we want to hate what he hates. And we want to stand upon his word and beg for forgiveness if we hopefully we're not still doing any of these. But to have mercy on us because we've crossed the line at some point in time in our lives. So that was, yeah, I gave you snared and I gave you that. Rest and refreshing. That verse 10, oh, that was that miat in there. We got that. That Moat, let me give you that one. This one was first mentioned in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4. And it was so fitting because we just had this. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the beings. According to each man's need, you make your count for the lamb. Moat. That's the parent root. Moat. Well, the root word is connected to Moat. And that's that H. H4591. Moat. So, it's like I said, it's been in the scripture a long time, but it's been so little. I guess we just don't see some of the little things, but I'm so glad that y'all pointed this out to me, because now we're going to see how just little just ain't really little anymore. Little is not always a poor thing or something to look down on. In Proverbs 15, let's look at verse 13. A glad heart makes good a face. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of the understanding one seeks knowledge. This is what I asked for, to seek knowledge. But the mouth of fools feeds on folly. This is one of the little places, because I shared my message with Julio. I said, let me show you what I'm teaching on Friday night. I was counting on him to be here, but we just got in. I know he's. So I'm glad I got a chance to share it with him. Anyway, all the days, verse 15, of the afflicted are evil, but gladness of heart is a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of Yehovah than great treasure with trouble. See, little, right here, me at. Just with him makes the day go by so great. Like this morning. I knew I was on the airboat this morning, so I didn't really have the time like I really like to when I'm on the boat to sit there and read, so I left my material home. But this morning, as I got just a little time I had to spend with him, it made me enough for the day. I was satisfied because I said, yeah, I just want something to read. Besides my notes, I said, I just open up to the Song of Songs. I said, well, I'm going to start in chapter one and just go through the book of poetry boat and then learn a little poetry. Oh, man. So better is a little. Little is 4H4592, me at. Still in there. Verse 17, better is a meal of vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. I mean, these are good principles in the book of Proverbs. I really enjoyed that. A man of wrath stirs up strife, but he who is patient appeases strife. The way of the lazy one is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the straight is a highway. What do you say to that? The road is broad, and many on that road, but straight and narrow is the way. And it gets a little tight at times. But it's a highway that we're on. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to one lacking heart, but a man of understanding walks straight. He ain't. You know, we got to walk straight before him. Without counsel, plans go wrong. But by great counselors, they are established. This is why I'm so thankful for his word. Because when you get in here, it's ever learning. I don't open up and it's like, I know this already. That's something to learn in here. That should always be something for you to learn. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And how good is a word spoken in this season. I'm telling you, boy, this is, as I was harboring this, and I called Brother Rob. I told him the other day, I said, Brother, you know I'm calling on you. Because I just don't see it. This was early in the week, and come give him a 4 or 5 day notice. I said, it don't look positive for me being here on time. But I'm telling you. Y'all knows when a word needs to come out in this season. And I thought about the golden apples and the setting of silver. And boy, I'm so thankful to be here. The path of life is upward for the wise, to turn away from Sheol below. Yehovah tears down the house of the proud. Was one of the things he hate? The proud. He tears it down. And he sets up a boundary for the widow. Evil thoughts are an abomination to Yehovah, but pleasant words are clean. See, this is not small anymore. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes lives. Does Yehovah hate bribes? Yes, so we should hate it too. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wrong pours out evil. Yehovah is far from the wrong one, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. We know he hears you and I. We have to humble ourselves. One way to come before him humbly. That's the one thing I shared with Julio. I said, when I get up early in the morning, and after I brush my teeth, wash my face, and sometime I'll put coffee on, but I know it's gonna get cold because I wanna go lay prostrate before him. I said, then I'll come back and put my coffee. He said, you do that? I said, every morning I get up. I said, then I'll go put my coffee on. I said, but I just want to spend, even if it's just 5 minutes, I just need to spend that time with him to thank him. Because let me tell you something, when I fall asleep, my wife can tell you, she can tell you, I am out. All this week, I'm going to tell you, the alarm clock caught me every day except that one day. Because I knew they sent me down the river to go pick up some guys early in the morning. And it was kind of like, I know I got to get up early. And it's on my mind, I can't sleep, so I beat the alarm. That was the only time. But man, he hears the prayers of the righteous. And this was one thing I asked. It was one of my prayers. I said, yeah, it's going to take a miracle for me to get here tonight. And boy, did he come through. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report gives marrow to the bones. I'm helping you tonight. And ear that hears reproof of life does dwell among the wise. He who ignores discipline hates himself, but he who listens to reproof gets understanding. The fear of Yehovah is the discipline of wisdom, and before esteem is humility. I thought that was great because we learned about his glory. This esteem is his glory. But you know what? Before he can put his glory on you and I, we have to learn humility. We have to be humble. I can't go be him with a proud look because I'm nothing but dust. And that was basically my prayer this whole time. You know, as I'm studying, going through this, I'm nothing before him. Without him, I'm nothing. And before esteem is humility. So we have this humility is something that we definitely got to get into our system. Oh boy. All right, let's go to Zechariah. So like I said, these are just a few of the small little verses, if we want to call them. But in Zechariah chapter 1, and some of these books might seem foreign to you, because it's like we don't, but this is what the Torah does, and the one thing is so beautiful, it'll lead you down these paths, and some of these books that look like we kind of almost forget about a little bit, how you know they're powerful? Because it gives you a chance to go back and visit and read stuff that you hadn't read in a long time, or just never seen in a while, so it gives you a chance to just kind of connect. So this is what's so beautiful. In Zechariah chapter 1, in the eighth new moon of the second year of Dariush, the word of Yehovah came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo the prophet, saying, Yehovah was very wroth with your fathers. That's almost not a way you want to start out the reading. And you say to them, thus says Yehovah of hosts, turn back to me, because he loves us, declares Yehovah of hosts, and I shall turn back to you, declares Yehovah of hosts. Humility. But we have to humble and turn back to him. How you know his ways are much better than our ways? The scripture says that. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he knows what's best for him, for us, for you and I. He knows what we need. He don't want us lacking in anything. And look, after that meeting the other night and Wednesday, talking about when Yeshua went to the fig tree and cursed it, and then he said, when you say to this mountain, by what you say, I was like, I got to change some words around it in my speech, in my prayer, in my witnessing, you know, because I should be getting better, not just want to be mediocre or just average. I want to grow. So that was some great stuff the other night. It really was. Oh man, we're gonna come back. I don't know how I missed the Song of Songs. I missed a couple things. We're gonna go back. We're gonna read this first. And you shall say to them, thus says Yehovah of hosts, turn back to me. He's encouraged us to turn back to him. Declares Yehovah of hosts, and I shall turn back to you, declares Yehovah of hosts. Do not be like your fathers. Who else are we supposed to be like? Don't follow some of their ways, them things that they did. Because I seen a guy yesterday. He says, is Yap Yap your brother? Talking about my dad. Because they call him Yap Yap. I said, that's my daddy. He said, boy, you look just like him. And I don't know the man at all, but he knows him. Because he knows him, he seen me, he said, boy, you look just like him. Then we got into the whole family, who I am, and he said, I know all his children. I don't know you. He says, oh boy, the stuff you come across in life, you have to be ready for. Said, your fathers, don't be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says Jehovah of hosts, Turn back now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. I promise you, don't go push that, because you're going to be up all night. Do that when you think you got nothing else to read. Go read of these evil ways and evil deeds. But they did not obey or give heed to me, declares Jehovah. So he asks the question, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? And this is one of the things I was sharing when I was going through my notes, and I was sharing this with Julio. Hey, you know, we got our forefathers. And look, it took them what they learned to get me here today. I don't disregard none of their teaching. But now we're in a time and an age that, you know, we're past our fathers and our forefathers and our generation before. Here we are today. They're not here anymore. This is what he's asking. So we should be getting better. We should be growing. Verse 6, but my words and my laws, which I commanded my servant the prophet, did they not overtake your fathers? These are some good questions Jehovah is asking. Then they turned back and said, as Jehovah of hosts planned to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has done with us. How many know he can do whatever he wants with you? You know, we make plans, but he don't override his plans. We there's so much things that, because our flesh, we want to do in life. But you know, but we have to start. One thing, before we do them all, we have to start with him. In verse 7, on the 24th day of the 11th new moon, which is the new moon, Shavat, in the second year of Darius, the word of Yehovah came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo the prophet, saying, I looked at night and saw a man riding on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle trees in the shade. And behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. And I said, my master, what are these? And the messenger who was speaking to me said to me, let me show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones Yehovah has sent to go throughout the earth. Now we're starting to see verse 1, how this is so big. But yet in verse 2, he asks for just a little food. This is just, when we deal with Yehovah, the glory, it's nothing little. It's this. So this, I thought they just went so good together. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen. I don't know if y'all excited about me, but when I was going through it, I was so excited about all this. Because I can't remember the last time I even read this story, but when it came up as I was digging in, this comes up. I'm like, well, how's little in here? Well, we got to see. And they answered the messenger of Yehovah who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have gone throughout the earth, and see, all the earth is at peace and rest. You know, there's going to come a time when the earth is going to be at peace and at rest. A new age is coming. This is what I was sharing with Julio. We were sitting down yesterday in the cabin of the boat, and I was explaining to him this. And it was just so beautiful. I said, you know, my cousin, there's going to come a time when the master is going to return. We're going to be at peace and rest. That's going to be shalom. That's going to be some work to do. It ain't going to be peaches and cream, because you got to do stuff. People are still going to be, you know, living and dying. These things are still, but we're going to be in a new age with the master. Can you imagine that? What we have been waiting for all our lives. What we've been standing for in the cold and the rain, getting out in the heat and whatever the elements were, you still showed up faithful. I said, the land's going to enjoy its rest. It's going to enjoy its Shabbat. I said, let me tell you something. You see this word Shabbat, the Sabbath, seven? Let me tell you something. This is all over in the scripture. This is in Old Testament. This is in New Testament, because I got to speak his language. I said, Sabbath's going to be a long time you're going to deal with the Sabbath. We got to get it right. So, the earth is at peace and rest. And the messenger of Yehovah answered and said, O Yehovah of hosts, how long would you have no compassion on Jerusalem and on the cities of Yehuda against which you were enraged these 70 years? Now, I had to explain that to him. You know, Yahweh is not pleased sometimes what Israel did, but he loved them so much. He had compassion on them. And you know, we even see our master had compassion on them. Because we might get to one of the subjects when he said, he's the son of Abraham. Shouldn't I not have compassion on him? You remember that wee little man, that little guy that climbed a sycamore tree? This goes to that. We might have to save that for tomorrow. He raised 70 years. Let me tell you, you talk about the land enjoy his rest, a day for a year. You remember that? Remember the two spies, they get that bad report. It came from their mouth, from their pay. That pay is one letter we should really look at in the Hebrew alphabet. We really got to look at that pay, because it really gets us in trouble a lot of time. And Yehovah answered the messenger who talked with me good words and comforting words. Boy, that was beautiful. And the messenger who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says Yehovah of hosts, I have been jealous for Jerusalem and for Sion with great jealousy. And I am very wroth with the nations who are at ease. And you know, some people think they got it made and they don't need the master. We all need him. For when I was a little wroth, they furthered the evil. Oh boy, that's big. A little wroth. He was just a little. I'm not going to wipe him out completely. I'm going to put him in exile for 70 years. A little, but yet, you think they would learn. But no, they furthered the evil. There goes your miat. Therefore, thus says Yehovah, I shall return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house shall be built in it, declares Jehovah of hosts, and a surveyor's line be stretched over Jerusalem. And that's a whole other subject, because that we'll go to Revelation from there. And I mean, remember, but who we pull our measurement from? From the master. Not from one another. You know, I love each and every one of y'all, but I got to pull my plumb line from the master. He's the one we the chief cornerstone. And proclaim, saying, verse 17, thus says Yehovah of hosts, again, my city shall overflow with goodness. Boy, we need his goodness. And then we're getting it too. We're getting it in verse 1. You remember? And Yehovah shall again comfort Sion and shall again choose Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, they're under siege right now. They're under attack. But don't worry. Yah sees it all. He knows it all. Look, one day they're going to be at peace and at rest. What a day that's going to be. Man, what a time that's going to be. So this is a little Zechariah account. I thought it was just so beautiful. You know, you never know, you come across these verses of scripture when you're sitting down. And I'm like, well, where's the little one here? But there you go. So you got to, it all comes from spending time. Now let me go back to a couple of verses I missed. In Proverbs chapter 16, because I don't want to miss nothing. Verse 7, when a man's ways please Jehovah, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Ain't that beautiful? It all comes from humble, though. You have to be humble and walk straight before him. Good luck. Believe it or not, because you have an enemy out there. And it ain't just the devil. You have other people that's enemies out there. They don't like what you're doing. They don't like for what you stand for. We know what's behind it all. But I mean, we have enemies, but you can be at peace through Yehovah. Better is a little with righteousness than a large income without right ruling. No matter how fat your bank account is, have a little righteousness. We need a lot. Definitely got to work on that. And a large income without right ruling, but we need his right rulings. Right ruling is his word. We have to dive into his word. A man's heart plans his way, but Yehovah establishes his steps. An oath is on the lips of the sovereign. In right ruling, his mouth transgresses not. A right scale and balances are of Yehovah. All the weights are in the bag are his work. I mean, you know, he's in control. of it all. And then when we were sitting down talking in the boat, me and Julio, I said, just look around. The creator, the designer of all this. He made everything you see that your eyes can see. He made it all. And he knew the day that we were going to be here today. Ain't that so amazing about him? Now, because little is not always a poor thing to look down on. But in chapter 24 of Proverbs, because I gave you that little deal. 24 and verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty shall come, a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Just that verse of scripture again. Just wanted to share that with you. So a little sometimes can be in the positive, or it can be in the negative, because sometimes we need more than just a little. It's a sacrifice. It really is. You know, we think it's not, but it's a sacrifice, you know, to walk this walk today, to be salt and light. You know, today on the way coming in, I'm sitting in with eight guys in the boat myself, you know, and one of them, and boy, if I hang with you one day and I start pulling on them strings, yeah, man, I'll have you going this way. Oh, no, you're not. I want to tell them, I didn't say it though, but in my mind, I was saying, that's all right, I got another pair at home. You can pull all the strings you want. But, you know, sometimes the world laughs. They see you're the only one there. It's pressure. But it's okay. He's with you. He said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? It's okay. You let them laugh and you let them have their fun, their joke. There's a day coming. So I don't get excited about all that. Now, let's go to the poetry. Because I had missed it. I had it right before Zechariah. I don't know how I missed over it, but we're going to go to it. Because it's so beautiful. And I think we're gonna close with this but we gotta get this part in. And Song of Songs, because this was mentioned that last Wednesday night, and I'm like, he mentioned Song of Solomon? How it's so beautiful, we should go check it out. So this is what I did. So I made, not specifically, but I got it in my notes. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse I just started reading it, so it's like you want to read it all, but I'm gonna just read what I. Look at verse 13. That's gonna start right there. The fig tree has ripened her figs, because we were talking about Yeshua coming to the fig tree, and it so happened that the word directed me here to the Song of Songs, and I'm like, oh, that, to me that was just like confirmation. It really was. And the vines with the tender grapes have a good fragrance. Rise up, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the cliffs of the rock, in the covering of the cliff, let me see your appearance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your appearance is lovely. Well, can you imagine that day? When you sit at the table with the man, when you see him for the first time, the one who we've been waiting for, we've been talking about, we've been proclaiming. This is poetry language that's going on right here. And I know it's Shlomo and whatever woman she is, she explains herself in kind of in chapter 1, but this is poetry language between you and your master. And it's so beautiful. It says, verse 15, catch the foxes for us. The little foxes, I said, boy, that spoil the vines. How do you know little foxes will spoil the vine? We've heard that. I've heard that statement all my life. You know, the little foxes that spoil the vine, but nobody explained it to me. Well, you're going to get it tonight. I'm glad you asked. Hold on. And our vines are all blossomed. Now, we probably got an idea what it is, but I'm going to give it to you what I found. Let me give you the little fox. Intolerable. You might have helped me on this. IRRITABILITY. Intolerability. How you say that?
Irritability.
Irritability. I didn't get a chance to look it up. My fault on that. Y'all got to go home. I'm going to go home and look this up myself. But I knew it wasn't something good by the rest of the definition. Inability, Next one is impatience. These are some of the little foxes. Impulsive speech. It goes right back to our words. Right back to that pay. It's also unkind words. Outbursts of anger. Anybody got a little foxes hanging around their houses? This is one of them. How about in a crucial and a critical spirit are some of the little foxes, which are serious sins before God. Serious sins. That caught my attention when I found that. Each of them, if not checked and controlled by the Holy Spirit, in the submissive and obedient Christian, and submissive and obedient Christian, will devastate one's witness for Christ. I read that to Julio yesterday. I said, I can't allow little foxes to come in and spoil the vine that I have with the master. Remember, I got you. He shuffles with his feet. He winks his eye. And he points with the finger. That's the little foxes. We have to be careful. Listen, when I read that, I kind of had to, you hit the pause button right there. Because they will spoil the vines. It will cause outbursts of anger. You'll be impulsive. I got to go. I just didn't spend time in the English yet with this, but I knew it wasn't good. Unkind words. What is the master trying to teach us? Humility. That we should be, as growing up now, the word we're getting, we should be getting better. Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that spoil the vines, and our vines are all blossom. My love is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flocks among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows have fled. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountain of Bethar. Poetry, beautiful poetry. That we want to, makes you want to spend time with him because of stuff like this. Hey, Shlomo was on to something, let me tell you. At one time in his life, he was on to something. Let me give you one more. In chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1, on my bed at night, I sought the beloved of my being. I sought him, but I did not find him. That's terrible. That's terrible right there. When you're looking for your beloved and you can't find him, there's going to come a time, the scripture says, there's going to be a famine for the word. In Amos 8, it's going to be a famine. That's going to be terrible times for you and I. That's why we have to get, we need more than just a little. We got to get as much as we can. I did not find him. Come. Let me what? Arise. Get away from the little sleep, the little slumber. Let me arise and go about the city, in the streets, and in the broad places. I seek the beloved of my being. People are going to be looking. We should be looking for him daily. That's why when I said I didn't think I was going to make it, I was so overwhelmed that Yehovah made it that I can be here. Because I really was. I knew it in my mind I wasn't going to be here. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me, to whom I said, have you seen the beloved of my being? People are going to be crying. The scripture said when he returns, the whole earth, all the tribes of earth are going to mourn when he returns. But can you imagine going through the dry season, through the famine time without him? I can't imagine that. Because he had to be with Yosef. If he wasn't with Yosef, none of us would be here today. There would be no Yerushalayim, we'd all be lost. Scarcely have I passed by them. When I found the beloved of my being, I held him, and I would not let him go. That's how hard we need to hold on to him daily. Until I have brought him to the house of my mother and into the room of her who conceived me. I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, Do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. I'm going to tell you, when he comes, he's going to do what he pleases. When he's going to arise from the east, he said, be ready for the sign. When the lightning strikes from the east and goes to the west, you're going to know he's here. What a time is going to be when he arises. And when he shows up, and we've been waiting all this time for him. So you say, well, now where is me at? I'm glad you asked. It's in verse 4. It's the word scarcely. In the King James, they put little. And I was amazed by that. But if we're reading just, you know, because we got our scriptures Bible. But if we don't dive in and see right there, it's me at. So you can see this little is not really little when you're dealing with the master. When you're dealing with the creator of you and I, of the heaven and the earth, and everything in it, it says it's all his. So I'm gonna hit the pause button right here, because I still got more, a little more in the tank, but I'm gonna save it because. But that's all what I found just in little, and just in the Brit, and just in the Torah and the prophets and the writings. There's more. Remember, that's 101 verses we can look at just on little, when it really ain't little. It's bigger than what I expected, because I was never expecting to read Zechariah and Song of Solomon. And these are books that just, maybe when you're not doing nothing, you might happen to drift that way. But hey, you know, you ain't drifting. When it comes to Yehovah, he points you that way. And that's what's so beautiful about the Torah. So thank you all for coming out tonight. You know, I just want to give him all the praise, the honor, and the glory for what he's done. You know, we had an incredible week this week. I know I did. A little tiresome, but it was incredible. And he had a chance to share a lot of word, you know, because we need to be active. So let's remember Brother Rob. I seen the text message that came.